Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Joe's Weather World, your only weather podcast dedicated to Kansas City.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Joe's Weather World. I thought we'd do a podcast today, just me for you for today, since we've kind of reached the halfway point of winter here in Kansas City, which is kind of an interesting time for us. It's been a little bit of a strange winter, in my opinion. We've really had a challenge, it seems, this winter, trying to get some good snow around Kansas City. It's been kind of one of those weird winters where We have the opportunities to get snow, but in terms of the delivery of the snow, it's been a struggle. I mean, we have been on the struggle bus for quite some time here to pick up some snow. So far this winter, though, we're now up to right around, I think we're up to close to 14 and a half inches or something like that. So it's been a strange one. In terms of getting the snow, which is actually about average. So it's been an average winter in terms of snow, even though it seems like we've been having a weird, you know, a dusting here, an inch or two here. It melts all the time here. It doesn't melt there. It's just been one of those weird, weird winters. So the purpose of this particular blog is just to kind of talk about a couple of things that I've brought up on my, or actually on podcast rather, is just a couple of things that I've brought up on my weather blog, Joe's Weather World, fox4kc.com/joesblog, for more on that. But there have been a couple of things here that I've thought have been sort of interesting around here. And I wrote a blog, and we're recording this now in the middle part of February. I wrote a blog back on February 6th or 7th, earlier in the month, talking about snowfall trends here in the middle part of the country and nationwide. And I thought I'd talk about that just a little bit because we're going to kind of dovetail all of this into spring flooding. And I've got a big concern, as many of my colleagues do, about what's coming up so far or coming up during the spring season in a couple of more months. And I think we're starting to see some of the ingredients fall into place for another bad year of springtime flooding. But before I get to that, let me talk about the snow situation. So we've talked about how kind of weird it's been this winter, and through about the 10th of February, we've seen more snow down in western Texas than we have across the northeast part of the country. Cities like Philadelphia, Boston, New York City have had very, very little snow by comparison to other cities. For example, down towards Oklahoma City, Lubbock, Amarillo, the Texas Panhandle area, they've had quite a bit more snow. But there was a study that came out last week, about 10 days ago, for the folks at Climate Central. And what they were kind of writing about and showing me that I want to relay to you is how the trends of snowfall have changed, not only nationally, but, for example, here in Kansas City. So what they did was they looked at roughly close to 50 years of data. And 50 years of data, it's a good chunk of data. It's not overly impressive. It's not underly impressive. It's probably right in what we call a mid-range of what we call period of record, POR, period of record. And basically what they have noticed, and this goes for Kansas City, is a decrease in the fall snows that we've seen around Kansas City. Now, again, the data goes back to 1970, and we've seen a definite decrease despite the last couple of years in the October, which we typically don't get a lot of snow in, and December and November snows. Other parts of the country have also done this as well. And as I look at a graphic, and it's on my weather blog, it's really abundantly clear how the fall snow trends, September, October, November, for parts of the country have really dropped off. We're talking most of the Mid-Atlantic states, most of the Ohio Valley, a large chunk of the upper Midwest, and especially the western third of the country has seen a significant drop off, in some cases, of fall snows. All right, so that takes care of September, October, and November. When we get into December, January, and February, it's actually kind of interesting. We've seen an increase in winter snows over the course of these 50-odd years for many areas north from about the I-80 corridor northward. Once you get down towards the Tennessee Valley, the Mid-Atlantic states, the I-70 corridor, the exception actually is here in Kansas City, more on that in a second, and areas south, there's actually been a decrease in winter snow over the last 50 years. As a matter of fact, they looked at about 144 stations around the country, which isn't a lot, but it gives kind of gives you an idea, reliable weather stations that have a pretty consistent reporting of snow. And for the fall, they noticed that 80% of these stations were showing a decreasing trend. For the winter, they showed about a 46% decreasing trend, which means 54% have actually had more snow during the winter season. And for the spring, we've definitely seen a change here in the plains. We've seen a change in the Great Lakes. We've seen a change in the western part of the country. About 66% of these 144 stations have shown a decrease in spring snows. And that would mean for March and April, which are kind of weird months for us. Sometimes we get dumped on, other times we miss out. It seems like we've been missing out lately, though, here in Kansas City. So basically what this tells us is that the snow accumulation for Kansas City, the window is getting tighter. We're missing the fall snows mostly, although these last couple of years we've seen snow in October and November. We're missing the March-April snows mostly. So now we're kind of down to these last 3 months on average, looking at the last 50 years of December, January, and February, where we have to get the bulk of our snow. On average, we get about 19 inches. And interestingly, there's actually been a little bit of an uptick by about, I think, less than an inch over the course of these last 50 years, from 1970, the trend line, to 2019, there's actually been just a little bit more snow during those 3 months than looking back to 1970. So there's a little trend upward for snow, all right, for Kansas City during the winter season. Now, got to be careful with this. Got to be careful with all this type of data that I talk about, because we all know KCI, it's only been around since the early 70s. And weather stations have moved from downtown to KCI, and that's two different places looking at snow, and it gets to be a little bit messy. So what happens is we try to thread the data together. When you thread data together, you take what happened at downtown, you morph it into KCI, and you combine both instances to come up with all this data. So it's a little complicated. But anyway, for the winter season, we've seen about an 0.8 inch increase in the winter snow over the course of the last 50 years. So what's going on here? Well, in the fall and in the spring, we've noticed as well that our temperatures here in Kansas City have trended up over the last 50 years or so. From 1970 through, I believe, last year, there's been about a 1 degree trend line of warmer temperatures over those 50 years. We're averaging our spring season 1 degree warmer. So if you start out a little warmer in March and April, it would seem to kind of connect the dot a little bit that you get less snow. Snow in March and April is always a struggle anyway. If we're around 34, 35, 36 degrees, well, you tack on a little bit of extra to that, and it just makes the snow the wetter kind that has a tougher time accumulating to any great extent, which doesn't surprise us, I guess, all that much. So it's been, you know, an interesting study that came out that I just wanted to kind of pass along to you. All right, so now what does this tie into with what I'm talking about in terms of springtime flooding? Well, a couple of things. One, so far, when I compare what's been going on for the last few months in the upper Midwest, the northern plains, the Great Lakes states, and look at what happened last February in that same general area, what I've noticed is that there's actually more moisture on the ground just sitting there, whether it's snow, whether it's saturated soils, compared to last winter at about this time. Now, what does that mean? Well, we remember how devastating the flooding was last winter, March, April, May, June, when we were setting some historic river levels on the Missouri and the Mississippi, too, for that matter. So the moisture, the soils up in the northern plains are virtually, if not 100% saturated, they're pretty darn close to being 100% saturated. So whatever falls, rain, snow, especially the rain for the time being, will run off. Where does it run off? Eventually it goes into the creeks, it goes into the rivers, and eventually it gets into the Missouri River Basin. The Missouri River Basin goes from Montana all the way down to Kansas City. So what happens is the Missouri River gets too much water in it, and we start seeing the potential of flooding. Now, sometimes this could be alleviated if you get a dry trend for a couple of months and the snow that builds up across the northern plains gradually melts so that things stay within the confines, if you will, of the Missouri River with some flooding, but nothing terrible. But they're already up in South Dakota, if memory serves, they're already releasing, Gavin's Point, the dam up there, already releasing twice the amount of water downstream that they have done in the past. And that's a significant thing for this time of the year. They're trying to be as proactive as possible to take the pressure off the Missouri River so that when all this water that comes our way in February and March and April and May, for that matter, when all this water comes into the stream, or comes into the river, I should say, that the river levels are a little bit lower than what they would normally be. This would hopefully reduce the threat of flooding. To compound all this is that so much of the flooding last year that we saw in the spring devastated and wrecked a lot of the containment to the Missouri River. So the dikes that were along the river, anything that was holding the river back, in some cases, in many areas, especially in some of the more rural areas, those containments, if you will, those dikes, those berms, etc., they are devastated. They're wiped out. So what we saw last spring and last winter was this wide expanse of flooding across the upper Midwest and down towards our area because of these broken dikes and berms and stuff like that holding the water back. Well, now those things are still broken, so there's nothing really to hold the water back. And so farmers that were really dealt a bad blow last year between the political situation, the trade situation, and the weather situation probably have another rough year coming, at least for the next few months. Now, again, there is a path that we can maybe minimize the future losses for some farmers here if we have a dry month, if we could get temperatures that don't do the whole hard freeze cycle where the soils freeze up, everything runs off. If we could keep those soils somewhat thawed, if you will, which was an issue last year where we were getting these hard, cold snaps in the spring and it was just keeping those soils very, very frozen. That all contributed to extra runoff. When it rained hard, it would just run right off into the basin. So there are some pathways where we could see things get perhaps not as bad as last year. But boy, I don't have anything good to say right now about the situation with the Missouri River. And it might actually be even worse for the Mississippi River, because the Mississippi River Basin basically starts just south of the U.S.-Canadian border. It encompasses Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, eastern Missouri. And all that water drains into the Mississippi River, which then goes down towards the Boot Heel and eventually down into the Gulf of Mexico. Well, things are even worse for that area because there's a lot of snow sitting on the ground right now in that general basin, especially the upper Midwest. And that snow's holding back the water, which is fine for now. But when that snow melts, if it does it very quickly, it's going to create more issues for the Mississippi River Basin. So you've got the Missouri, you've got the Mississippi, all in prime condition to do a lot of flooding for the coming spring and perhaps even early summer. If you remember last year, we really started our flooding, if I remember correctly, back in March. And I would not be surprised if something like that happens again. It's just it's a fascinating thing in some ways, but you know it's a devastating thing in other ways. I mean, I saw something the other day that farmers up in North Dakota, they still have corn in the ground that's waiting to be harvested from last fall, but they could not get back out into their fields because of the crummy weather. So whether it's snow or floods or mud or whatever. So this is just going to be another really, really rough year for the area farmers, not only for us locally, but also especially across the upper Midwest. Another very, very rough year, I think, is heading their way. We'll hope for the best, but I've got bad, bad feelings about what's coming up. So those are just a couple of the stories that I've been kind of following here lately. As we approach the halfway point of winter in this part of the country. From a temperature standpoint, it really hasn't been overly bad, not by any stretch of the imagination. We've had a warmer than average January. We were a little colder than average in December, but overall, this winter has not been terrible from a snow or temperature standpoint. We've had some pretty reasonable days. We've made a run at record highs. We've had a couple of record highs already. In the last 3 months or so, that's not bad, not bad at all for Kansas City. But again, we'll see where things go here over the coming 6 weeks or so, because I think that's going to go a long way in determining just how bad the flooding gets around here. Other kind of interesting weather stories have been out there. For example, in my blog on February 10th, I wrote about when we try to figure out long-range forecasting, we look at these various, what we call indices. They're numeric values that we try to kind of connect to the weather. And one of these, a couple of them that we look at are these indices called the Arctic Oscillation and the North American Oscillation, the AO and the NAO. And I just want to quickly touch on the AO, the Arctic Oscillation, just a little bit. When the Arctic Oscillation is very strong, when we get a number that we call positive, it means that the cold air, for the most part, is locked up across the polar region. It's not necessarily spilling down into the United States. And that's been kind of the case really for much of the winter, right? There have been very, very, very few Arctic outbreaks into the United States. When it's positive, like I said, we trend warmer. The data on February 10th, though, was just crazy. It was record high positive number. The last time it was this high was back in February of 1990. And so when the Arctic Oscillation is positive, we trend warmer. When the Arctic Oscillation is negative, we trend colder. And the data continues to show that there are no signs of any real negative Arctic Oscillation values coming our way, which basically means that we won't be talking about the polar vortex like we were last year. We'll just be talking about these little quick-hitting incursions of colder-than-average temperatures, granted, but they only last for a day or two, unless you get real cloudy, and then they could last longer. But we just get these little quick-hitting shots of cold air that just kind of come in, they come out, and then we warm right back up again. And that's been another kind of weird thing, if you will, about this winter. So just a couple of odd, odd things. And by the way, this is connected. You may have heard in the news about how airplanes were going from New York to London. They are grabbing into this jet stream up across the northern Atlantic Ocean. That was blowing at around 250 miles an hour. They weren't taking full advantage of that, but they were taking pretty good advantage of it. And you were able to fly from New York to London in under 5 hours, when I believe normally it would take like 7 to 8 hours or something like that. Now, what happens is once you get into London and the plane comes back to New York, that plane wants no part of the jet stream, of that type of jet stream. So they were flying all the way up towards Greenland, doing everything they possibly could to avoid this headwind, if you will, if they're returning from London to New York. But it's all connected to this record high positive NAO. I went back and looked at the data from the day back in February of 1990 where we hit this record, and sure enough, the jet stream was almost very similar to the jet stream that we saw on February 10th. So the maps from 1990 to February 10th of 2020, 30 years ago, were very similar. Just kind of one of those strange things. All right, so that's kind of like a little recap for you of the halfway point of winter. We'll see what we could get. I still think we've got a couple of snowstorm chances coming up. But boy, I tell you what, it's tough sometimes to try to find the right combination of cold air, accumulating snow that doesn't melt because it's 34, 35 degrees. That's going to be a trick here. Over the next few weeks or so. Again, we've had close to 14 inches of snow. My winter forecast was for 26. I still am in it. I think it's sort of on life support, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyway, so I just wanted to take you on a little quick trip into Joe's Weather World for the middle part of February. I've got another Joe's Weather World podcast coming up for the end of the month, and that's going to talk about how if you run a business and you need more specific localized weather forecasts, I'm going to talk to an owner of a weather company, private weather company, that provides that service, and we'll talk about the benefits to it and stuff like that. That's all coming up at the end of February. Meanwhile, thank you so much for listening to this edition of Joe's Weather World. Have yourself a great day, and we'll see you again in a couple of weeks.